Forms of real estate ownership. The form of ownership created by the purchase of real estate is determined by the manner in which the property is deeded. The number of individuals taking title and the legal entity, whether an individual, a corporation, or trust, affect the form of ownership, as does the marital status of the purchaser. License holders should be familiar with different forms of ownership so that they know what signatures to get on agency forms and contracts. The form of ownership has important legal and tax ramifications, and license holders should always avoid advising how to take ownership. Advise the purchaser with questions regarding the pros and cons of various methods of taking ownership to get the advice of an attorney, tax advisor, or both. In most states, including Texas, ownership of real estate can be held in three different ways. An estate in severalty involves ownership of real estate by one individual or entity. Co-ownership involves ownership of real estate by two or more entities. A property may be placed in a trust, with ownership conveyed to a trustee for the benefit of others. Ownership in severalty. When a sole individual or entity acquires real estate, an estate in severalty is created. The sole or single owner is severed or set apart from all others. The advantage of ownership in severalty is total control of the property. The disadvantage is full responsibility. In addition to individuals, companies may hold ownership in severalty. A corporation may be composed of many shareholders, but the corporation is viewed, under the law, as a single legal entity. If only one signature is required on a deed conveying full ownership of the property to another, the seller owns an estate in severalty. Examples: Doug, a single person, purchased a vacation condo. Doug's interest is an estate in severalty. Big Tex Inc. purchased a home for rental and investment purposes. While Big Tex has numerous stockholders, the firm is treated under the law as a distinct entity. The Big Tex interest is an estate in severalty. Co-ownership, property held by two or more unmarried owners, may be held in two different ways. The first and most common type of ownership is called tenancy in common. Tenancy in common is ownership of real estate by two or more entities in undivided interests. Because these interests are undivided, all co-owners share the right of possession of the property. Texas courts will always assume that the owners are tenants in common if a deed does not make the type of joint ownership clear. Tenants in common own real estate in undivided shares. For example, if Joe, Mary, and Sally inherit a 300-acre farm in equal shares from their parents, they do not own 100 acres each. As tenants in common, they each own a 1/3 interest in the 300-acre farm. If, in the future, they decide that they each want to own their own distinct tract of land, they can do so with a partition of the property. The partition of the property may be done voluntarily or by order of the court. In most states, by default, property ownership by two or more unmarried individuals will be tenancy in common with equal shares. With tenancy in common, the owner's interest in the property may be in equal or unequal shares. They may acquire their interest at the same time or at different times. They may acquire their interest from the same source or different sources. They may dispose of their interest without affecting the interests of the other tenants in common. They may mortgage or lease their respective interests without affecting the interest of the other tenants in common. They are responsible for the property in proportion to the ownership interest they hold. Tenancy in common is an estate of inheritance, and title passes at probate. Their interest will pass to their heirs or beneficiaries named in a will upon death. Example: Don Clausen and Paul Clark, both unmarried, purchased a home for investment. The grant in the deed conveyed the property to Don Clausen and Paul Clark. Under Texas law, the new owners are tenants in common. Because no division of ownership was indicated, Don and Paul own equal shares in the property. Joint tenancy. A less popular type of ownership by more than one is joint tenancy. The unique aspect of joint tenancy is the right of survivorship of the tenants. When a joint tenant dies, his or her share is equally divided among the surviving joint tenants immediately. In order to create a joint tenancy, four unities are required. Time. Owners must acquire their interests at the same time. Title. They must acquire their interest from the same source, will, contract, deed, etc. Interest. They must hold equal shares. Possession. Possession of the property must be shared equally. All of the four unities must vest at the same time, generally from a single deed of conveyance. Heirs and devisees have no claim on the property because joint tenancy is not an estate of inheritance. The final survivor becomes an owner in severalty. Joint tenancy has been referred to as a poor man's will. When a joint tenant dies, the decedent's share passes to the surviving joint tenants. A will is not required for this to happen. Joint tenancy is a concept derived from English common law, which regards the marriage of two people as creating a single entity. In some states, ownership by a husband and wife is called tenancy by the entirety, which is basically joint tenancy created between two married individuals. When one dies, the other immediately becomes an owner in severalty. Tenancy by the entirety is not recognized in Texas. In states where it is allowed, property held in this manner cannot be disposed of or conveyed without the signature of both parties. In addition, property held in this manner is not subject to a creditor's claims unless the creditor is the creditor of both parties. Community property. Nine states, including Texas, adhere to the concept of community property. Community property is a concept of Spanish law that considers marriage a partnership rather than husband and wife becoming one, as English law does. Under community property laws, most property acquired during the marriage is owned equally by both spouses. It cannot be conveyed or sold without the signature of both parties. Property owned by a married person that is not community property is called separate property. In most community property states, property acquired before marriage is separate, as is inherited property and property purchased with inherited funds. Separate property ownership has its complications, as shown in the following example. Example: Bill and Sarah are married. In 2008, Sarah inherited the home of her aunt, which they soon turned into a rental property. From 2008 to 2014, the property was rented to various tenants. In 2014, Sarah sold the property and realized a $40,000 capital gain. As a rule, what is community property and what is Sarah's separate property in this scenario? Note that the determination of whether property is community or separate is quite complex and can often only be determined by the courts. The general rule would be that the rent house is Sarah's separate property. The rental income from the lease of the property is community property. The gain on the sale of the house is Sarah's separate property. Any profit or income from separate property is considered community property. However, appreciation or an increase in the value of separate property is not community property. The proceeds from the sale of separate property are separate cash. When two or more parties join together to create and operate a real estate investment, it is called a syndicate. Trusts. A trust is an entity created for the benefit of another. All trusts include an individual, known as a trustor, who places title to real property in the control of a trustee, who then handles the ownership for a beneficiary or beneficiaries. Ownership and control of the property are vested in the trustee, holding title in name only for the beneficiaries. The trustee has a fiduciary duty to the beneficiaries to operate the trust in their best interest. In most cases, the trustee is not personally liable for the liabilities of the trust. The real estate placed in trust is subject to the liabilities and obligations of the trust. A testamentary trust is a trust that is created by will and is effective upon the death of the decedent. The deceased trustor conveys property to the trustee, who will manage the trust for the benefit of the beneficiaries. Typical beneficiaries include spouses and children of the deceased. A testamentary trust is especially important when the deceased wishes to provide for minor children or any beneficiary who might be deemed incapable of managing his or her own financial affairs. An inter vivos trust is a trust created during the lifetime of the trustor. Like the testamentary trust, the Inter Vivos Trust may be created to care for a relative or loved one. It may include specific instructions as to medical care and other issues that may be dealt with by the beneficiaries. Because of his or her broad scope of authority, a trustee has a significant fiduciary duty to manage the trust assets for the benefit of the beneficiaries. The trustee can enter into contracts and borrow money secured by the assets of the trust. All actions of the trustee must exhibit good faith and sound judgment. In many cases, trusts have been created that seek to perpetuate the ownership of real estate in a family bloodline. Any attempt to do so would violate the rule against perpetuities, a law designed to ensure that real estate is freely transferable. Wealthy landed interests have historically tried to keep the land in the family. The rule against perpetuities reflects the broader societal interest in avoiding the creation of a landed class and ensuring that real estate is widely available. The creation and operation of a trust have significant legal and tax ramifications. Because of these complexities, the advice of competent legal and tax professionals should be obtained.